Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode. It's Bobby here with Chad and Emilio and our new special guest, a barking dog, apparently.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess the neighbor's got a dog. We'll see how that goes. That with the motorcycles, it just seems like Mad Max out here.
Yeah, I know. We're in post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, junkyard.
Junkyard, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you'd think we mix in these sound effects in post-production. You know, like we got a really good Foley artist, but no, it's the real deal, folks.
Yep.
So, how was your week?
Okay.
I've been,
he asked casually,
busy but not busy. Does that make any sense? Like
less death involved this week.
A lot of less death. All my family members chose not to die this week, so that definitely helps my whole thing, because I didn't even talk about it, but my brother died 4 weeks before my dad died.
But this is the brother you didn't really know.
Yeah, he's an asshole. I wasn't even interested in going. It's funny because the rest of the family was like, I got some heat for not being at my brother's funeral. I literally said that guy was an asshole. If you want people to come to your funeral, don't be an asshole your whole life. Not one redeeming value on that guy. Not one redeeming value. Wow. Yeah. Not one. I can't think of one thing. He beat the shit out of me because he was jealous of me. Because I was born in the United States. He was born in Mexico.
Really?
Yeah. He had one bike. I had 18. It could grow on a guy.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like a killer week. Mine was terrible. I have not had a chance, as you'll find out, to play too many games. Been incredibly busy at work and school now. But what you going to do?
Yeah.
Chad, I
thought it was going to be something awesome.
I know. Like I was going to get uplifting, but no.
Yeah. I got a perfect score on something or other, but no.
Yeah. On my conflict analysis of a glass menagerie. Anyway, Chad, save us here.
Help us. Mine was just a normal week. A little side note. I don't know if we should be bringing this up now, but.
Yeah, fuck it.
I feel like doing it. I've been messing around with some Illustrator programs. So we're working on our first t-shirt design. And I think we're getting close to what we want for our first one. So we might be offering a t-shirt here in a week or two. A little DL Gaming original. We'll see.
Yep.
We're getting close. What do you think, guys? You think we're close?
I think we're getting close. I like what we got. I think we're headed in the right direction. I think it's a solid idea. I don't want to blow the secret just yet, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And thank you to all the new listeners. Our numbers have been... This is the most increase over the last 4 weeks that we've had in probably 6 months, so it's pretty awesome. Tell a friend, keep this pirate ship afloat.
Yeah. Like us on iTunes, Spreaker, whatever you're listening to us on, like us. Send us a heart, a thumbs up, whatever. Two cocks in the upward direction. Whatever it works.
Whatever. Don't send us any, no flaccid cocks for...
Yeah, if you're sending us cocks, make sure they're rock hard.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
All right, so we're going to start out with going over some games that were recently released this week. Kind of a big week. The end of January, really. I don't think of too many releases during that time. But we have had a couple big ones. First on the list, the beta for Tom Clancy's The Division is out. I got into that. Apparently, you guys didn't sign up for it.
I didn't even know. Thanks for letting us know, Bobby.
Did not know.
Wow. I thought that was common knowledge.
What... So, this is Tom Clancy, so it is military-ish, right? But I know nothing else other than that. So, give me the deets on this.
What I know is post-apocalyptic.
Post-apocalyptic?
Yeah. Well, kind of. There was a disease or something, and it wiped out everybody on at least Manhattan.
Okay.
And I think that's where this takes place. So, you're walking around through Manhattan.
But you've got futuristic guns, or is it... Is it modern age weapons?
No, I've seen definitely some drones that...
So near future?
Near future, I would say, yeah.
Bobby, did you actually play this weekend?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Weekend's not over.
The weekend is not over, you're right.
Yeah, so I will be playing a little bit of this. I do have it downloaded and installed and ready to go. But it looks cool. And I've played Tom Clancy games in the past. Well, obviously Rainbow Six, like way back in the day, Rogue Spear, those games like that. But recently I played one that was more like this, a third-person, over-the-shoulder tactical shooter.
Oh, it's third-person.
Yeah, they are pretty enjoyable. But this game looks great. The graphics look amazing. They've got a really good engine they've been bragging about. It's supposed to be really good. I don't know. I have yet to see, though. Any interest on your guys' part?
I saw a bunch of people Twitch streaming this. I think a lot of the top Twitch streamers were streaming this, but I didn't get a chance to get in. It was a little hectic at work this week, so I'm kind of over the military shooter right now, and I'm not a great shooter in the person in the first place.
But it's an MMO, and I think it's kind of like...
Is it an MMO?
Yeah, it's an MMO. You can kind of build...
People toss around MMO like it's nothing.
But right. So I think it's kind of like these things where there's a central hub, right? And then you can get your group together and you can walk around and go scavenge and fight NPCs. But then you can go in these things called dark zones. And in dark zones, there's other teams scavenging as well. Better loot, but then also you might run into another group.
So it's kind of like an open world survival game then, huh?
Yeah, but you're running around in a squad.
Okay.
You're in a squad of friends.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's a huge amalgamation of genres here.
Okay.
I think it looks really sweet.
AAA, obviously, this is coming from who? Who's doing the Division?
Whoever does the Tom Clancy games. Ubisoft, I guess.
Yeah, Ubisoft.
They know their business for the most part, so I'm interested.
All right.
Well, I have a feeling that there was some stuff that went way wrong, or it was definitely going off the tracks.
Well, it was postponed, wasn't it?
Yeah, we didn't hear about anything about it for 6 months, and now I think they got it closer. I did talk to somebody who was playing it was Crad Northrop. He was talking about how...
A listener of ours, by the way.
Yeah, you could definitely tell that it's a beta. So I think that means glitchy here and there.
Gotcha.
But I asked him if everything was running top notch, would it be a great game? He says it has good potential. So, okay. Yeah.
Have you gotten back to Siege, by the way, Bobby?
That'll come up later. But whatever.
Siege? No, I haven't played recently.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What else we got?
Torment Tides of Numenera. That is a tough one. I just want to say
Numeria. I always want to say
Numenera. Okay. Numenera. This one was a big deal a year or two ago because it was one of the first Kickstarters that, right? Isn't this the one that was Kickstarted and got like over
tons
a million?
Of news. We talked about it on one of our earliest episodes.
Yeah. So this is that one, right? This is that Kickstarter.
Yeah, this is the first one. At the time, it was the highest funded thing ever on Kickstarter, I remember. And this is what made people say, what's Kickstarter even?
Mm-hmm.
Like they kind of kicked each other off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the reason for this is because that...
This was Torment, right?
Was
this
Torment, Tides of Numenera?
Numenera.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Was like a very fan favorite. But thing is, like, how did I not hear about this? I went from Ultima to EverQuest 2 to Tribes. I never heard about this.
And, yeah, me neither.
And the way... I mean, to get $1 million... There's a huge cult following somewhere.
Yeah. Either that or one dude dropped 500 grand or something.
But I've always said that, like, if you want somebody to be a fan of your stuff, you want tech-savvy folks to be your fan. Because those people are going to go on to make shit tons of money. You know, if you were really into computers in the 90s, you're probably pulling in some good money.
What happened to us?
Well, we like... ladies and drinks and
see, I don't know. I feel like that's a very small demographic.
Yeah. How about you, Bobby?
I don't even know one person who's played this game. The first one.
Bobby, did you play it?
No. No. This seems like a very niche thing to me. I remember hearing a lot about this.
What kind of game is it?
A year ago. It's an RPG. Yeah. It's like a 2.5D on the Unity engine.
Oh, okay. Are you guys interested? Yes, no?
Well, I was only because of everything that came with it, you know, all the like hype train, if you will.
Yeah.
Plug in.
Very true.
But then I looked at its initial reviews. It's like 88% right now. But it's a beta, so that comes with a caveat. So
that's an 88 on Steam.
On
right?
Steam, yeah. Okay. I give a lot of credit to that Steam thing.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if you should, though.
I don't even go to Metacritic anymore.
I can't believe that dog is still barking. It's
I don't
ridiculous.
Know if they can hear it. Let us know if you can hear it.
Got
next week.
Yeah.
We're going to have to kill that dog. I don't condone pet violence. I was joking about that.
Unless you're podcasting.
All right. So that's a maybe for us. What's next up?
All right. Next up is Lego Avengers. Another Lego game. That's all I got to say about that.
So yeah, that's a yes for you.
But is that a yes or a no?
That's a yes for Bobby.
No.
What?
Look, if I'm gonna
Lego play, Jurassic World, best thing I've ever played.
It's got dinosaurs. That's
yeah, well, it's Jurassic Park. Yeah. You know, how are you gonna compete?
It wasn't the Legos; it was the dinosaurs that got him hooked on that one.
I mean, here's the thing, though: all these Lego games are practically the same. And yep. Actually, I shouldn't say that because I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Around New Year's, I played Lego Star Wars: The Clone Wars, and I noticed how that game focused a lot more on combat, where Jurassic Park focus more on puzzles, platforming, jumping puzzles, things like that.
Mostly because you can't fight dinosaurs.
Yeah. You lose every time.
Every time.
Yeah, that wouldn't work out. But there is a little bit of nuance there. But for the most part, yeah, a Lego game's a Lego game. And they keep remanufacturing the same game over and over again. And
Well, Super Powers is kind of cool.
Yeah. Right? And Lego Marvel, I had a lot of fun. Well, there was a Marvel one that came out like a year ago or so. And that was fun because I like the Marvel universe.
I think that Lego is a lot like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
You pick your one for the two-year span, and you're good.
But they do them well. And
they do them well,
It's kiddie, it's kid-friendly, but
it's fun. I giggle from time to time.
No, it's very accessible.
But no, for sure. I'm not throwing my money at this.
Yeah, and you know this thing's going to be $5 next year anyway, so why spend $30, $40 on it right now?
Yep.
All right, next up, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Bobby, you first. So, for new listeners, we got a little backstory here. One of my games of the year a couple years ago was Tomb Raider.
It was last year, dude.
Was it last year?
One of the
no,
PC
it was 2013.
Games
2000, yeah, 2 years ago. Tomb Raider was one of my favorite games. Emil really liked the game also. Bobby hated the game.
I didn't hate it.
Hated the game. You talk shit about it. Nothing was right. It was a horrible game.
So it's an ongoing joke that he brings it up every time that you relate something to a bad game. It's like Tomb Raider. And then we say every time it's a good game, we go to Tomb Raider as well.
Yeah.
So if it gets confusing, and then this is like paramount, this coming out, it's kind of like maybe it'll sway one team to the other or whatever. But as far... We're definitely playing this game this year.
I'm buying it this week.
This week.
I didn't buy it opening week, but I am buying it this week. I'm going to play it this week. I will give you my information next week on my thoughts on it. And I have family shares set up, so if you guys want to play it while I'm doing other things.
Bobby's disabling his family share with you right tonight to make sure that doesn't go anywhere.
We haven't even re-enabled that, I noticed. I don't have your game, so we'll have to set that back up. I don't know. I almost want to play it just so I can see what they did with it. But I got a feeling it's just going to be like the first one. So I'm not...
Already hating on it.
No, I'm not.
So
I'm
awesome.
Not. So, I mean, mediocre.
But you'd only play it if it was free to play. You're not paying any money towards it.
No, I mean, I might... How much can you get the original Tomb Raider for? I've seen it, like, what, $5 or something on sale? Maybe more than that. But it's gotten really cheap. And I'm sure this one will eventually, too. Now, it's coming to PC sooner than expected, too, right?
Yeah. This was supposed to be an Xbox timed exclusive, and it's either past its exclusivity or what, but it did come faster than I was expecting it to come. Hmm. But it looks like, if you've seen movies on it, it looks good.
You don't got to bring that up, Bob. The only reason I put this in here, the next game is Sebastian Loeb. I guess he's a rally. Loeb. He's a rally driver. He must be a champion or something. Anyway, it's a rally game. Great graphics, blah, blah, blah. Only reason I put that up there is because I have no interest in games. None of us play racing games, right?
No.
6 months from now, that might change completely. If I could place this in a VR setting, I would be so interested. Because the graphics are fantastic in this game. And I think it got shitty reviews. What is it? 8 out of 10 on Metacritic or something. So I just wanted to put that in there, how the technology coming out, if it holds up to what everybody says, how it might change a title from being some mediocre thing to a killer app.
Yeah, because we talk about game versus experience.
Right.
Like, this might be a so-so game, but an awesome experience.
Right, exactly. So that's the only reason I put it up there.
Fair enough.
I think your timing's wrong, Sebastian. I'm sorry.
All right, what do we got next?
Next up, I wanted to bring up The Witness. Came out, the long-awaited game from Jonathan Blow, creator of Braid. People seem to like it. I have not bought it yet. It's $40.
And which seems really expensive for a...
For what it is.
For a Jonathan Blow title.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see it. That's how much Talos Principle was when it came out, right?
Yeah, but...
You're going cartoony graphics versus...
I think of Talos Principle as a team, and I think of Jonathan Blow as...
There's definitely a team.
Was it a team?
He's...
He's heading up a team now?
Not even that. I believe he was like second on the list. He wasn't even an executive producer. He was like executive producer or something like that.
Okay. Well, he was probably integral in the creation. But, you know, it takes a lot more than one person to make a game these days. Especially one that looks like that. I don't know. I'm very interested in it, but I don't know if I'm going to pick it up for $40, especially given my current schedule right now and not enough time to play it. But I do like puzzle games. And I like puzzle games because they're very black and white. They're not, you can't grind and achieve something in a puzzle game. You either get it or you don't. You actually have to figure it out and solve the problem to move ahead. And I kind of like that approach to gaming as opposed to games where it's just like, well, this is easy, but I just got to spend an hour or two doing it.
I found it interesting that, you know, there's a 3D aspect. You're walking around this island or whatever it is. And, but the only, there's not like a moving rock puzzle and then a stopping the water flow puzzle or like stop this person from being mad puzzle. It's all these tiles. All 600 puzzles are these tile puzzles.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. I found it surprising. That's all. Okay. Like, I gotta really, really like one of these tile puzzles if I'm going to do 600 to beat this game.
I think there's something more to it. I have purposely not looked into this game or watched any streams just because I want to go into it fresh when I do play it. Because I know he's an interesting guy and he has ideas of what he wants his game to be. So I just kind of want to go in without any preconceived notions.
I mean, you have to explore. There's an island to be explored. But every time you walk into a wall, that wall is one of these tile puzzles. I just hope that they're very, very provocative or have something going for them, you know, to keep you. They got to be as good as a crossword or something like that. Something timeless. I don't know.
It's just 600 Sudoku puzzles.
Yeah.
I would be down for that.
See, Chad would love that.
I don't know. I heard one thing I did hear, because it's kind of hard to avoid hearing people talk about these games, but somebody said that the tiles, they're more representative. When you do something on a tile, it shows that you recognize something in the real world and there's some sort of relations there. Mm. I don't know. It sounded very esoteric. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. I didn't even really want to dig into it.
That's cool.
I think there's something more to that rather than just like, I looked at screenshots. And I'm like, that looks a little underwhelming, but you know, knowing this guy, knowing his history, knowing all that, I think there's, I'm willing to give this game a shot.
I would be buying it today for $20. For $40?
Oh yeah, $20.
Yeah, I just don't see myself buying it.
What did you guys think of Braid?
I played a little bit. It was interesting. It was fun, but I got like bored of it. I got like, I just wanted to see the story end. I didn't want to have to do more puzzles. I felt like there was too many puzzles.
It was a combination of the difficulty did not match my intrigue.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to keep working on it.
Yeah.
I wasn't that drawn. But it was hard.
It was very hard.
Very hard. And so I was like, I don't care enough to finish this. I never looked at, and to prove that I didn't care that much, I never even looked up the ending or anything like that.
I don't know. I like the puzzles, and really I didn't care much for story in general in video games, so I wasn't disappointed in that. I want to say that I heard him say in one interview or one talk that the story was something he put in there after the fact to, you know, make it more accessible, make it more sellable or something like that. I don't know. I always feel weird trying to, like, re-quote him because he's so specific about what he wants to say and how he wants to, like, present himself that I feel like I'm always fucking it up. He's an odd dude, for sure, but very smart.
All right, what else we got?
Next up, we got Hounds: The Last Hope.
See, I hear the title, and it makes me think that it's a Sherlock Holmes game or something. Like, I was not expecting...
The Hounds of Baskerville.
I wasn't expecting mechs and...
It's not mechs.
What is this?
I don't know. It looks like people killing monsters in sewers. And it's funny... I got to give credit to whoever took their screenshots. Their screenshots look fantastic.
Yeah.
Their gameplay looks like utter dog shit.
Okay.
And so...
So this is a no.
Well, if it was free to play and me, I was going to check it out. And maybe we could kill some big giant monsters together. That looked pretty cool. But what are they asking for this, Bob?
This is going for $27.99 on sale.
I thought it was ridiculous for what I was seeing.
Yeah. All right, that's enough. Let's go to the next one.
Moving on. I think the last one we got here on our list is Hero Defense, The Haunted Isle, and this looks like a greenlit game.
Yeah, I like this one. This intrigues me, I don't know.
Oh, this is a tower defense game, right?
Yeah, but instead of towers, you get characters, and those characters have abilities. So I believe you have to jump around from character to character and choose the right ability for the situation. And then you get to move them around. From the reviews that I read just on Steam, everybody credited how original it was as a tower defense. So I like tower defense, and I like original thoughts in tower defense. So this looks really cool.
How much is it, by the way?
Let's look
I don't
here.
Know if it's greenlit yet. Is it? Let me check the store page.
Okay. But it looks like you can level up your characters and give them armor and stuff like that. Each one of them. So it's kind of like, what's the other one that we played together? Defenders.
Dungeon Defenders.
Kind of like Dungeon Defenders, but I feel like you have multiple characters instead of just one.
I have absolutely no interest in this game. This is the antithesis of what I want to
play. All right, well, you can go fuck yourself, dude.
And the name makes me want to punch them in the face. Hero Defense: colon Haunted Isle. Island? Like, come on now. Let's make a Hero Defense first, and then
this
make
doesn't
a
look
Isle.
Interesting at all.
No. Absolutely. Not.
Yeah, you can go fuck yourself.
Okay.
I kind of like the Spooky Island, but it is $13.49 right now on Steam if you are interested.
Okay.
All right. Cool. So that's what we're looking at for this week. Out of all those, the only one that I really am the most interested in playing, other than the Division beta, is probably The Witness. Maybe I'll buy it. I don't know. We'll see.
Let me know if you buy it, because I want to play it, but I don't want to buy it.
All right, Chad. Now, try to put into words what Tharsis is.
Wait, can I do my... video game stop me?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
got a special segment for everyone here.
All right, so they have some like lists online of, you know, what video games taught me. You know, and it's got all these like feel good things that, you know, keep trying and you beat the boss and, you know, all these kind of stuff. And, you know, I wanted to kind of take the DL spin on it. So, I of course equated it to the Sex Edition. So this is the DL Gaming, What Video Games Taught Me, the Sexual Edition.
All right.
So here we go. If you don't know what you're doing, try mashing. Awesome. Okay. I can't wait. I want to wait for Emilio.
We can wait for him. Emilio is in the bathroom right now. We can hear faint laughter as he, you know.
All right. So what else do you want to talk about while we're waiting for Emilio to
For him, let's talk about what we've been playing this week, or more specifically, what you've been playing this week.
Yeah.
You had a chance to check out Tharsis?
I did. We'll get into Tharsis, and then we'll go back to the What Video Games Taught Me.
All right.
Tharsis. So, this was a request from a listener. Why am I drawing a blank on the listener now? It was a listener that put it up on our What Games Do You Want Us to Review on our Steam page. So if you are interested in listening to what we think about a certain game, I recommend you go to our Steam group, DL Gaming, and we've got a whole pinned thread for what do you want us to play. So this is one of the games on that they chose for us to play. $15. So, Emil, you played it too. It's kind of like it's a board game. So you yes. roll dice, and you do things with the dice.
Resource allocation and dice.
Yeah.
I would say.
Did you end up beating the normal mode?
No.
How close did you get? It's 10 turns.
Fifth or sixth?
You got to survive 10 turns. And that's the whole point. You survive 10 turns.
Every time I played, I got one further you walked in. And then I only made it to like the second.
Gotcha. It kind of has mixed reviews on Steam because it is very difficult. And people voted that down. But I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. It only has one mode, one gameplay. Like, you get 1 to 10 and you kind of beaten it. So I kind of want it to be hard if I'm paying $15.
I can see that for sure.
You know what I mean?
My thoughts on it were that I didn't like that there was no branching narrative. Maybe they'll bring that in later.
Yeah.
You know, if certain things happen, maybe certain things happen in the story. But it's the same story. As long as you make it, it's the same story every single time. And it makes you watch it. Or you have to click past it. So that seems like, I don't know. It's just like you could only take that girl's voice so much.
Yeah,
not that it's true. A bad voice. Or whatever.
You should be able to click, hey,
I've
seen this.
Yes.
Just bypass all this.
Right. The other thought was, I felt like you weren't getting a lot for your money. It's one thing. It does it pretty well. I think they achieved what they were trying to do. It's a one-trick pony, but it's a new pony. And it's $15 for that pony. So it's a combination of really good rolls. It's not like, okay, so you could get the worst items in the world on Binding of Isaac and beat the game.
With your skill. Yeah.
This is not the case here.
Yeah.
You actually have to have once you get your skill to a certain level, I feel like your skill is just static. Once you figure out, Chad came and told me a couple things, you're not going to get ever better. You know what to do.
But you saw some of the things that you didn't even think about. Like, oh, I've got a one. I've got a die with a one left.
Right.
I guess that's junk. And I'm like, no, you can do this and you can put that there.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's more like, oh, I can do this. Not like, oh, I learned this skill.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You could read a guide and basically know how to play Tharsis.
Yeah.
Instead of having to learn it.
Exactly. And then once you have the skill, now you're just waiting on the rolls.
Yeah.
And you might not get the rolls ever.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably go 20 games and lose. So it's an interesting game. I'm glad they made it so that maybe some other people can extrapolate some other stuff from here. And if we're sounding a little vague or confused, it's a hard thing to put into words.
Really. I can understand why it's either really viewed well or bad.
People who got good rolls versus bad rolls.
Well, not just that, but like people that really like the concept and like, oh, why haven't more games done something like this?
Yeah.
I could see them really liking this, but other people are like, oh, this is all there is.
Yeah.
Because personally, I feel like this is a $5 game.
Right.
And they're basically charging three times as much.
Right.
I
did like the painted brushstroke art.
See, I liked the art, but I didn't think it was put together very well. Like, it felt kind of like an indie group put this together.
That's what it is, probably, right?
It is. And I could see the kind of lack of some of the professionalism on some of the things. But I'm not complaining. The art was nice. It, you know, the sound effects, everything was good. My whole thing is it is true. It's a one-trick pony. You play
Sam
the one.
Sam loved the music.
Yeah.
She was like shaking her ass at the music the whole time I was playing. So.
Yeah. Bobby, you have any interest?
Not really.
Yeah.
Bob, do you like video games?
Bob's been busy with school. Cut him some
slack. Who the fuck is Bob?
Bobby, damn it.
Bob is my dad. Okay, but what I wanted to ask, though, do you feel like this game is kind of like gambling? Because it sounds like there's so much luck involved. Is there kind of like the thrill of gambling?
If the only bet that you put is your time.
Well, so right? You know, like they say poker is gambling, but why do the same people always end up at the winning table? Like, I feel like that, like, like
it's a combination
it's,
of those
it's
two.
Randomized, but it's maximizing your randomness that is the key to this.
Yeah.
So if you're really good at maximizing it, it can minimize,
but not
but
guarantee.
You could still get all ones and just die.
I had first rolls, first levels. There was no way out. Well, I could get out of the first level, but there's no way I could continue past the second.
Yeah.
There's no way. It's just like, you know, if you're on your first roll, you have to get to 27, and the other one you got to get up to 18.
Yeah,
like, what I feel like nothing you're saying is going to make sense to anyone who hasn't played this game.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very confused right now.
Yeah.
It is a confusing game to explain.
It's a board game where you got to roll a lot of sixes and fives.
Yeah.
Except for when you can't roll sixes and fives.
Is there any meaning to the name, too? Tharsis?
It's like one of the moons of Mars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
you're trying to get to Mars is your thing.
Trying to get to Mars.
But your like, ship got wrecked. And you're trying to survive as your ship is going to the Mars.
And then after that, it's all resource management. You're the Martian from you're Ben Affleck or not Ben Affleck? What's his name?
Matt Damon.
Yep.
All right. So that's a no for Tharsis, basically.
Yeah, I would give it a no.
Yeah. All right. Wait unless for the Humble Bundle.
$3-4. That's
yeah.
what. I...
Yeah.
All right. Not endorsing Tharsis here.
No.
Okay. All right. So back to Chad's new segment. Here.
Okay. All right. All right. I'm going to go through these. So next one. If it gets harder, you're probably going the right way.
I feel like we should mention the title of this section again, just so people aren't lost.
Okay. This is What Video Games Taught Me, Sexual Edition. It's almost always fun and more fun in co-op.
This is true.
Search every nook and cranny, you usually find something good there. Their weak
if it's hidden, they're hiding it for a reason, bro.
Their weak spot is usually from behind. Sometimes you have to start off hitting on blobs before you are ready to take on something bigger. You can't progress without practice, but you can't practice without turning it on first. The goal usually starts out simple, but it never stays that way. And the last one, the princess is always in another castle. So there's my...
I really like that last one.
What Video Games Taught Me, Sexual Edition. All right, that wasn't as funny as I hoped. What do we got?
But you tried. That's what counts.
That's the important part in life. And Sexual Edition.
So we played some Fractured Space. That was free this weekend. And so was Sunless Sea. Which I've always wanted to play, but...
Which never. One?
Sunless Sea. The Sunless Sea.
Yeah, you'd recognize it if you saw it on Steam. It's got kind of that green sea picture with like a... what do they call that in the water with a light? Not a lighthouse, but the ones that float in water.
A buoy?
Yeah, like a buoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chad, didn't you play that game, Sunless Sea?
I don't think
he did. Anyway, it's a roguelike, and I've wanted to play it, and it's free this weekend. I'm going to try it tomorrow. But that's not what we're talking about, so it doesn't really matter. Fractured Space is what we played. And Fractured Space is a MOBA, essentially. Except for there's no minions. And you're in space, and you're a capital ship. Or at least a battle cruiser.
There are no minions. That might help the game.
You've been complaining constantly about this game. I don't see... Any problems with it.
Yeah.
I had so much. I took to this game like a fish out of water. Right away, all the controls seemed super intuitive to me. I thought, wow, how did they make controlling a ship this big, quotation marks, feel like a big ship, yet simple to operate? And so, man, I just went on a tear on this game. I was getting like 14 kills, on my second or third game in a MOBA, that's pretty good. And it just clicked right away for me. MOBAs usually take a little more, looking into, maybe a little investigation, maybe a little watching some YouTube videos. But this one, I don't know, I just took to right away. So it's three lanes. The middle lane is just a special thing.
It's not three lanes. It's two lanes with a fire giant.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Two lanes with a... What's the low equivalent?
The Baron.
The Baron. So it's two lanes with the Baron. Got five people on each team?
Yeah, five.
Five on each team. Multiple spots to take over on each lane, on the right and left lane. Only the Baron in the middle. And there's a timer where everybody can see the Baron. So it's kind of like five people fighting over two lanes just for the resources. You're leveling up. As you level up, there's no items or anything. You just choose what you want to upgrade. You could offense, defense, or
utility.
So those three, and that's only every three levels. So it auto levels up. It's very, very dumbed down. The difficulty here is fighting in 3D space. I really wish I had that quote from Ender's Game now. I'm pretty sure it's there is no down.
No, the gate is down or the exit is down.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, you need to think a little outside of the box. You need to start thinking in 3D.
And there's like asteroids and planetoids.
Yeah, all over the place.
So you kind of can play with line of sight and all. Right. In this game. And the cool thing is, it's not a joystick game. Like, you'd think, oh, space combat, I'm using a joystick. The thing
you're
is...
You're not in a fighter ship.
It's in a plane, and you can hold spacebar to move up and control to move down, but it's always in a plane. You know
almost
what I mean?
Think submarines, really.
Yeah, it
they
is.
They kind of control like...
And well, they have a name for that, right? 6DOF or something?
I don't...
Six sure. Degrees of... No, there's a name for those types of games, like Descent. Back in the day, where 6 degrees of freedom, where you can move up, down, left, right, along, at, you know, yaw, pitch, roll. Right.
But you can't. Your ship will never point up. Like, it's always on a flat plane, and you can. It is like a submarine. You can move it up and down, but you can't. You can't tilt.
You can't even yaw or pitch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You can strafe. But you can't. Strafe. Yeah, you can't yaw or pitch, but you wouldn't need to.
I like that because it kind of grounds you.
Yeah.
When you're in this like 3D space,
right.
It could get really disorienting.
If your orientation were real, then I would have been lost completely. Yeah. But this makes it easy enough.
The controls are good for what they're trying to do. The controls are really tight.
Yeah, for sure. They're not responsive, but that's on purpose because you have this gigantic ship that you're flying. So it was a free download. I don't know how much it is normally.
It's $10 for, there's a $5 founders pack, a $10 founder pack, and a $30 founder pack. But I think it will be free. I think it's like a MOBA where it's free to join if you want to play.
Well, they said this weekend, so.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know how it's going to work. So I got to say $10, $15, as long as you get some stuff with it, some. I would recommend it. I really, really like this game. You can pick it up and play it if you've ever played a MOBA. Even if you haven't played a MOBA, I think it's pretty straightforward.
The tutorial is nice.
Yeah.
It taught you what
extensive
you needed to do.
And, yeah, and kind of fun and worth doing. I think that's what really makes a tutorial.
I really like the graphics, too. It was complex enough to make it feel like it was a capital ship, but not... And you could tell what each ship was just seeing the profile of it, which
right,
was important.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. So there's three classes, if you will. There's several ships within that class. But and there's no pay to win, as far as I could tell. I this is just, you know,
they got boosters, so you could theoretically boost yourself.
You can get more XP, but you cannot, even if you have all the money in the world, you can't unlock ships until you put in your time. You can boost your time, but that's about it. So... You unlock ships with XP and money. It's a combination of the two, not one or the other. So that makes it a little more fair, I think. I don't know if it's a model that works, but I like the effort.
Here's why I wasn't thrilled with this game. There's only 9 levels. You level up 1 to 9. So I even though we were destroying
In a game.
Yeah. Even though we were destroying the other team, we never got level advantage really. Because the levels are so big. So I would prefer them to have 20 levels or 25 levels.
But doesn't that mean that one level means a lot more than it does in those other games?
I know. So then you end up being like Heroes of the Storm where it's like, oh, we're 10. We have our ultimates. They're 9. They don't yet. Let's attack. Or, oh, we're 9. You know, like you end up having these like steps. And I don't think steps is necessarily... Like I would rather see 20 levels... And you say, oh, I'm 2 levels above them. I'm stronger, but I'm not going to just, like, destroy their whole team. You know what I mean?
Sure.
The other thing is you can set up your ship outside of the outside of the match, like what rockets you're using and what all you're using. But there's no strategy inside the game. It's only at 3, 6, and 9 you could pick offense, defense, or utility. And I wanted more in-game strategy to counteract.
Like other MOBAs.
And they didn't really have that.
And my counter argument to this was that it's a little more like Magic the Gathering, where you put your deck together before, and that, but it's not nearly that complex. It's a couple of clicks here and there. But it's just like, oh, I prefer missiles over lasers, so I'm going to just always go with missiles. I see your argument and mine. I see both sides of this coin.
Because you go from Dota 2, which has so much strategy in-game, and then you go to something like Heroes of the Storm, which said, okay, we're going to take out this, and we're going to take out that, and then this one's another step down, I felt, from Heroes of the Storm. Like, you couldn't even... they don't even have skill trees that you pick every couple of levels, so...
I like the direction.
Yeah.
And how long, so does, Bobby, how long does a round take in this game?
15, 20 minutes.
Maybe 10 to 15.
Yeah, they're quick.
20 sounds like a... well, you may be right. Yeah.
And they have another mode, which wasn't available this weekend, which we think is like just a single lane mode or something like that. It's there's
Oh yeah. It sounds there was an update today too.
Okay.
So I don't know if that had it. But yeah, ARAM in this game sound like Chad and I both said to have a Star Wars type battle where just everybody comes together and just beats the shit out of each other would be super fun as well. Well, if you think about it, it sounds really, really fun. Anyway, definitely worth the download.
This was Fractured Space, by the way.
I would pay up to 15, 20 bucks for this. I really enjoyed it. Maybe 20 bucks is a bit much, but...
How many people are playing, Bobby?
About 3,000, according to SteamCharts.com.
Yeah, so there's people playing.
Not a bad player base.
No, not at all.
So that's pretty much it for new stuff, right?
Yeah.
We got a couple things, but they're all...
I'm just going to run down these old games that I've been playing a lot, things that happened. Darkest Dungeon booted that up again because they had their official release. So maybe we shouldn't have given it 2015 Game of the Year, but it was that good that even in 2015, not even its full release, it got Game of the Year. So in 2016, it's a full release. They added some other stuff. I could tell the difference. It seemed like you were closer to the characters. And there's just little tiny things you could see here or there. It's a little bit better here and there. But just to let you know how unfucking forgiving this game is, the two characters they start you out with did not make it out of the tutorial for me.
Most games... you can't die.
You literally can't die. And then I was like, oh, my guy's on death's door. They're just doing that so I can learn what death's door is, right? That means when you have no, the next guy just knocked them out. Two regular zombies took out my two heroes, or one of my heroes. So I started without my crusader, which is your fucking badass.
Why didn't you just start over the tutorial?
I thought about it, but then I was like, let's just see where this goes.
Wow.
So, and they give you three people as a stagecoach.
Yeah.
So I could make a team.
Yeah.
I had to put a bounty hunter as my first. I played as the arbalist. She seems pretty cool. She has a sniper ability. Mm-hmm. She can mark people. So
yeah, she's really got to heal.
But I really got to get back into this game.
The guy with the dog, the beast houndmaster or whatever, and the guy that turns into a werewolf. Like, I haven't really extensively played them, so I can't wait to get them. But I think it's just a luck thing that I haven't seen them. But I haven't played much.
It's a blast,
dude. This game's so good.
Darkest Dungeon right now is going for what? Is it
probably $20 full price. But it's been down to $9.99 at times, I believe.
Yeah, it varies on sales. It's $20 retail, but it varies anywhere from like $15 to $12 or so.
Yeah.
I actually loaded that game up again. I thought I'd get back into it, but my save was gone. I tried to load it. I reloaded it from Game Save Manager, tried to put it back in there, would not accept it. I think because I played so much of this game in alpha, I think the last time I played it was about 5 months ago.
Sure.
6 months ago. I don't know. It's been a while, but I can't get my saves back. And I put a good amount of time, and I had the A-team on that save too, so... I was really sad about losing that. I just didn't have the heart to start over again, but eventually I will.
That's kind of like a benefit to me. I've deleted my save on this game, even when I'm doing well. Like the one I had going, I talked about it, how it got easier. This game got a lot easier, and I was just smoking bosses. I deleted that save just because I like starting from the beginning.
Yeah.
Even without your Crusader, apparently.
Yeah.
Some of those games have that effect to them where, you know, it's like a lemonade stand type game where it's a struggle, you know, during the first phase of the game and onto the second. By the time you get to the third phase, you've got everything going and you're, you know, you're doing really well and you're just grinding through it. I mean, I was trying to get through the entire story and I think I only had a few more left to go. So that's kind of what I missed. But yeah, I did kind of want to start over with a new team, especially to see all the different classes they have now. I think the Houndmaster is the only one that would be new to me because I remember the Arbalest.
No, there's another one after that. There's a guy that turns into a werewolf. Or some sort of beast.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, it sounds like we're fucking sponsored by this game. All right, moving on. Flame Break, just having a great fucking time with it. Finally beat it on hard. And then right after that, I beat it again on hard. So I'm getting to the point where I'm unlocking the whole game. So I almost say that this is kind of like, I guess, a downside. Because Binding of Isaac, you could never run out of shit. And then on this, I'm almost done doing it with like 20 hours of play. Maybe it's an upside. Maybe it's a downside.
No, you got to get the one achievement where you beat it 5 times in a row on hard.
On hard.
Right. Like, I think that is the ultimate win.
Right.
Is beating it 5 times on hard in a row.
Yeah.
Because hard, it just gives you random shit and you don't get a choice.
Right.
So whatever they give you, you have to beat it with.
Right.
And I think that's going to be the hard one.
Welcome back to Tharsis Dice Rolls.
Yeah, seriously.
So Assault Android Cactus. Sam and I beat this last night.
Oh, you guys did?
Yeah. So, right after you left.
I left, and they were beating their heads against the last boss. But the last boss had a whole fight, and then there was another mode, and if you lost to that one, you had to go back and fight the first part again, right?
Right, exactly. So it's kind of like a 15 to 20 minute boss battle. Oh. 15 minutes. And we lost at like minute 13, and then it took us back to minute 1, and we almost quit, but you know, we stuck to it, and we got it done. I actually looked it up on the internet, but there was no big trick to it. You can't attack the actual boss at the end. You have to attack the things he's throwing at you. That was the big thing.
Spoilers. Wow.
But a good game. I'll stand by it. It's really colorful, action-packed, whatever.
Great, you know, for your girlfriend if... You know, like non-gamers. Yeah, like
she's good at stuff. She's not particularly good at this, but she was good enough to beat it. So the skill ceiling isn't that high up that you can't beat this game with, you know, just a friend or something. Or if you
it's got a very chaotic game, though. There's a lot going on.
I know, but you can't, like...
It's bullet hell, but you can't die.
You can't die. So even if she just keeps dying or getting knocked out again and again... You can still pass the levels, right, for the most part.
What you're worried here about this in this game is DPS. If you're putting in the damage, it's okay if you get knocked down. But you got to make sure you put in the damage because it's kind of like a timer instead of lives. It's interesting. I like this game. It's exactly where it needs to be. It's a $15 game. Nice graphics, colorful, good music.
Assault Android Cactus, by the way.
Yep. And then, and I promise I'm not going to be bringing up these games again, except for maybe Darkest Dungeon, which I'm going to be playing this week. Grim Dawn, again, Chad and I really got into it. Chad more than I. He played like twice as much as I. This is the best dungeon crawler out there.
I don't know about that. I mean, Diablo 3 just had a season 5. I really want to get back into Diablo 3. It's a really good dungeon crawler, but I'm having a lot more fun, you and I, than I am just by myself.
Right.
But that's
given.
Standard.
With most games.
We keep playing and what is it?
Hardcore.
And,
yeah.
We get to like level 19, 20 and then die 18.
And then you lose that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And then it's a lot. It's a lot like when old people die and like, you know, we've been together with 80 years and then one dies and the other one's dead 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that for us. Once one hardcore player dies and can't come back, the other one just kind of gets suicidal and then goes and kills himself. Yeah. Like, what is it all for?
Why do we keep playing hardcore? What's the deal?
Our next game, if we play again, will not be on hardcore.
Okay, question.
Because I thought it was too easy.
Yeah.
And the first time I died, I was drunk.
Yeah.
Second time we died, we went into the cave, and granted, it said, there is a spirit in here that is far, far beyond your power. And we said, we're drinking beer. Yeah. I said, we're drinking beers. We're making good choices.
Yep.
Let's go in on this. And then we proceeded to get raped.
Yeah. The boss had his way with us and our children and their children. So that happened.
Yeah.
Bobby, Grim Dawn, any interest?
Not so much. You know how I feel about dungeon crawlers.
Yeah, but you've been playing Diablo.
I've been playing a little bit of Diablo here and there.
Well, I'm not sure I know how you feel about dungeon crawlers. Enlighten me.
You didn't like them.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I feel like it's a lot of clicking on stuff.
This
has the mobile player.
This has zero clicking. I just hold down the left button, and it moves you. But if your mouse is over an enemy, it shoots.
Just one long sustained click.
No, okay. It's not. At that point, is it a click, or is it not?
It's a super click.
All right. Anyways,
so today I started I was curious what. I knew that nobody agreed with us with our Darkest Dungeon Game of the Year. So I wanted to know what everybody else thought. So I put a thread, and a good amount of people responded, especially when I prodded them to do so. except for Stoner Smurf. I had to prod him over and over and then wake him up and then let him know.
Well, his name is Stoner Smurf. So, yeah.
I'm going to leave it up for another week, and then we're going to officially announce the DL Gaming Listener Game of the Year. But for now, we'll just let you know what people are thinking. Bobby, what you got?
Read it down to us.
Well, I guess we can go down the list, but we should mention so far, leading with two whole votes is Dying Light.
I love that game. It was so well done.
Yeah. I really want to buy that game, but I feel like everyone's already played it and they're over it, and I wouldn't have anyone to play with. But I do want to play that.
The single player on it is awesome.
Yeah, the single player is, yeah, maybe even better than the multiplayer. Bob, why is it that every time...
What's his name?
Bobby. Why is it every time that we say we have something for you to play, you want to buy them, you don't want to play off our account? You don't play anything off of any of our accounts.
Well, I don't, like I said, I don't have Chad's account right now.
What about mine? I have way more games than Chad.
Yeah, I do.
But mine are better.
I do have your account. No, and I do. I totally would play it off your account.
Name one game that you've played off of my account.
You don't have a lot of games that I don't have.
I'm just saying. I have Dying Light.
No, I have played a game off your account. I'm trying to think. Darkest Dungeon I started playing off your account.
Okay.
But then you bought it.
Yeah, I did buy it.
And that's why he's number 23 in the world. That's the kind of mentality you have to have. Free? Fuck it. I'm going to pay.
Well, you know, that answered a very very interesting question that I had. If you play off of family sharing, if you play a game off of someone else's account and you have save files under that game, if you then buy that game, will you be able to play your same save files?
I believe it works off of the game. Because I've had
the
both
answer,
happen.
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. And I was able to prove that with Dying Light, or not with Dying Light, with Darkest Dungeon.
Mm-hmm. All right, go down the list.
Okay, so we've got Clown Lotion, and he is saying Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition.
Excellent
I guess since
choice.
The Enhanced
Excellent
Edition
choice.
Came out this year.
He plays a lot of games with his son, and it having controller support for two controllers, I mean, that's just right. Yeah. You know, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. It took a game that was an 8 or a 9 and just took it to that extra level. It's not quite a 10, but I don't know, a 9.5 maybe.
Yeah, fantastic
good.
Game.
All right, what else we got?
Team Tom says The Witcher 3. I think a lot of people are saying that game.
Yeah, most of the critics and players agree.
It's so funny, though. I did not get hooked by that game, but, you know, personal preference.
Can you appreciate how much was put into it, Bob?
Yeah.
That's really what...
Like, I can understand why people would really like that, but it's just not my type of game.
Cool. All right, what do you got? It's fantasy, bro.
I've never really been a huge fan of fantasy. Tolkien. More of the sci-fi stuff. But even RPGs in general. I don't know. That's a road we don't want to go down right now.
That's a long story. Okay. What do we else we got?
David is winning. Dying Light.
With no description. First guy just said, this is what I think, and this is how it's going to be.
Plain and simple. Flying Hawaiian. I like when it highlights people's icons in green. Flying Hawaiian is playing Surgeon Simulator right now.
Wow.
Says The Binding of Isaac Afterbirth.
See, I would have mentioned it or put it higher on my list when we did the Game of the Year, but I feel that Afterbirth is a DLC. To Rebirth, which came out the year before, I believe. So,
But do you feel like some DLC could count as a game. Like, I look at Outlast DLC or expansion, and I'm like, that really rounded out the story in that game. Like,
I don't know. If it's not a standalone, no, I don't consider it a game.
We can squash this or elevate this, depending on what you guys think about this. Kill Bill 2. Was that a sequel, or was that just the second half of the movie? Was it better? Was it worse than the Kill Bill 1? I didn't like Kill Bill 1 that much until I saw 2, and then I was like, oh, this is amazing.
I'm not a Tarantino fan, so...
I feel like Kill Bill 2 was a DLC.
Well, Tarantino made it as one movie, and the right. studio made him cut it. So I would consider it a DLC.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go.
If DLC for movies existed.
Yeah. All right, what else we got?
Happy Noodle Boy says... Dying Light.
Okay.
All right. Fig Sock.
Oh, new listener. I haven't seen Fig Sock.
Who is playing Civ 5, great game, says... What does he say? The fuck is...
Get your shit together, Fig Sock.
he doesn't have an answer.
Okay.
Okay. That's a...
He's got answer. A response, but he doesn't have an entry. Okay. Stoner Smurf. He was saying 7 Days to Die and also Road Redemption because he was a huge
fan. I like Turtle.
He's a huge fan of Road Rash.
Oh, okay.
And he is playing 7 Days to Die right now.
And you really like that game.
What was the second game that he mentioned?
Road Redemption.
That's that top-down one that's similar to Fast and Light? Is that one?
No, that's Convoy.
Oh,
Convoy. No, Road Redemption is basically a new version of Road Rash.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And that's a great game. But these are both early access games, so not technically 2015, but...
Well, we gave Game of the Year Darkest Dungeon.
So,
yeah. It's but 7 Days to Die, that's a game that he really likes, and we played that with him before, but none of us really got into it.
No. It's a zombie game, and...
Yeah. You know. Well, I think we had our fun with Rust, and I think that was the one we really got into.
Well, and we jumped in with him. And he tried to show us around, and I was just like, man, this looks like utter dog shit.
Yeah, the graphics were rough.
I mean, credit to him to find, I guess, the diamonds in the rough.
But I think gamers, you have your, like, your graphics threshold, and as long as a game meets that, then you're okay with it. You know what I mean? Like, and then people have different levels of their threshold. But
dude, if there was enough content there... Even with those graphics, I would be like, oh, this game's really fun if the combat was great or anything like that. But
well, I think the combat is where most of those games fail because it's really annoying when you try to melee a zombie and the hitbox is off or something doesn't work quite right. That's very frustrating. The graphics, I can get over that.
Yeah.
All right. Last one is Kraden Notorp, and he says Life is Strange, which is what I also said. Great game.
I think Kraden Notorp is Bobby's alter ego.
Yeah.
He plays on him when he doesn't want. That's the guy he plays on Heroes of the Storm when he wants to lose.
Except we've heard Kraden Notorp talk, haven't we? He's been on our Skype.
Kraden, get a better name. Or we'll just call you Kraden.
No, it's backwards, right?
No, I know. I get it. It's what is hard that? To say.
Proton Dark or something?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so that is our listener game of the years. If you want to throw in your vote, check out our Steam group. Just go to dlgaming.net. It's all on there. You can get to our Steam group from there.
Yep.
All right, let's talk a little esports here.
Rainbow Six is getting a pro league in March. I don't know how expensive that is for a developer to do, but obviously you would want to do it to magnify your longevity of your game by years. Obviously, it's a good move. We'll see how well it does. I'd rather watch a Rainbow Six match than I would a Counter-Strike match, but that's personally me.
Well, I'm really interested to see what competitive play looks like for Rainbow Six.
What's the difference between Rainbow Six and Counter-Strike? What does Rainbow Six have that Counter-Strike doesn't have?
Destructibility. Yeah. More strategy.
This is Rainbow Six Siege we're talking about.
Siege, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Never mind. My bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I think this is one of those games that has a really high ceiling cap, and those are games that I like to watch competitively because you can see the skill involved with a really high ceiling cap game. You know, like Dota 2 to me is more interesting to watch than League of Legends because I think the ceiling cap is higher in Dota 2, and if somebody can achieve that high ceiling cap, it's really impressive to watch.
And I explained it like a drunken monkey last time, which I do most of my reviews. But yeah. Rainbow Six, I just want to say the amount of pre-battle strategy seems to be... There's many, many levels to it. It's not just you can faint this way and go that way. It's that times 10 or so. It can get very, very deep.
But still, none of us are playing it right now.
This is true. So this is very true.
I mean, it's understandable for me.
It's a very demanding game. You know, like I couldn't do this and Heroes of the Storm. It's kind of one or the other with these types of games.
And we know which one you're picking. Yeah. All right, what else we got?
All right, so we're going to do a little hardware section again.
Oh, Bobby
Gets Hard. Yep. Where?
Nice.
Yeah. Bobby hates that title, by the way.
It really does.
I thought we'd just talk about hard drives for a little bit. And usually I ramble on for a little bit about something specific, but I thought I'd open this up with a question. What do you guys think is a good size for a hard drive?
What I know is not a good size is 500 gigs.
Isn't that funny? Because I feel like that's a very common size, but for all of us, that's not enough. That's what I have on my laptop, and it's definitely not enough. It's amazing how fast you can fill 500 gigs.
I am constantly having to delete shit. My Steam installed list is very short, because if I'm not playing a game, I'm deleting it because I need the space.
Now, me on the other side, I've never hit that. I'm at 500 as well. And I've never hit that run out of space point because I'm like notorious for my deleting of games that either upset me or like just not worth my, it's not even worth my time. It's worth my hard drive space. Not worth my hard drive space. You're gone. You're out of there. So I delete a lot of stuff. Every movie, every TV show, anything I watch, delete like right after. I've just always been that way. So 500 seems to be okay for me. I'm always running around that between 60% and 70%, but never got into 80 or 90.
It always depends on what games you're installing too. I mean, Binding of Isaac only takes up like 100 megs or something, but Wolfenstein, Far Cry, these Call of Duty, these types of games take up 25-30 gigs.
Yeah,
so that'll fill up your drive real quick.
How about you, Bobby? What's your thoughts on it?
I think a gig is good.
1 gig.
Actually, I'm sorry, 1 terabyte.
Wow. Okay.
1 gig, yeah, you're good. Yeah. No, I think a terabyte is the way to go for most people who play a lot of games and just use their computer quite a bit. I think you can get by on a 500 gig, but treat yourself. Get a gig. But I would say get a 500 at the cost of speed. If you get a 500 SSD as opposed to getting 1 terabyte... 1 terabyte of a standard hard drive, a spinning disk.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because that's definitely the way to go.
I'm
better small inconvenience than constant inconvenience.
Yeah, I'm very happy I have a 500 gig solid state compared to a terabyte normal hard drive.
Yeah, definitely recommend those. I really like the Samsung Evo series out there. Those are really solid. If you want to spend a little bit more, you can get the Pro series. They've got those.
What's the differences between Pro and the normal?
The Pros are a little bit faster. Okay. But honestly, I don't even know if people would notice it all.
That's
that much.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I keep seeing these MS, right? Milliseconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
MS improvements. We can't even see the difference.
Well, usually they rate them in read and write, sequential read and write. And they throw out a lot of numbers. But for real-world performance, that's a whole other story. If you want a good piece of software to actually test your hard drive and see how it compares, check out Crystal Disk Mark. That's great for – you just run it. It'll tell you – it'll give you some numbers, and then you can just Google your results and see how you compare to other hard drives out there. What I would definitely recommend avoiding – and I tell a lot of people this that are building machines – if you're going to get a normal hard drive, do not get a 5400 RPM drive, because those are the worst. Those are meant for just storage where they're not, files aren't accessed very often. They spin very slow and the access time is just ridiculous.
I don't think I've ever even seen one of those.
7200 is standard, right?
7200 is standard, but a lot of times on a laptop, you'll get a 5400 RPM. Hard drive.
Because that's a number that people don't look at.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very technical detail, but you will notice that difference big time. So if you do end up getting one of those drives, even if it's just like a storage drive for whatever, then at least get a 7200 RPM. Now, they got these new hard drives out, M.2 drives, and that's just the type of connection that the hard drive has. And these things They aren't that new, but they look like they're smaller than a stick of RAM almost. And they fit into the motherboard and they lay flat against the motherboard and kind of lean up against it. So they don't take up much space at all. They're, you know, there's different benchmarks out that are showing different numbers, but, you know, they're maybe twice as fast as some of these SSDs out there.
Wow.
But they are a little more expensive. Naturally. If you have a newer motherboard, then it probably has an M.2 port on it, and you could do one of those. They're great.
Well, it sounds like if it's that close to the metal, it sounds like motherboards are going to be coming integrated with them, maybe?
I think they did do that on one motherboard. Yeah. They had a built-in hard drive. It wasn't very big. But yeah, I mean, they could do that, but then you can't swap it or replace it. Yeah, so.
Would you recommend...
If it's 5 terabytes, let's just get crazy. If you have a motherboard that comes with 5 terabytes of this, whatever, M.2,
yeah.
I mean...
Right. Yeah, but then you've got, you know, if your motherboard goes bad, then you lose out on your hard drive. If your hard drive goes bad, you're throwing all your eggs in one basket. I mean, these are great, but they're a little expensive. I would still, for most people, recommend going with an SSD.
And just to recap with that, something we've said probably 6 months ago is the number one thing you can do to upgrade your rig right now, the quickest, fastest thing, get rid of your old hard drive, stop spinning that disk, and get an SSD. That it, as far as going to, wow, I can see a difference right now, right? Yeah. Chad, it happened to you, it happened to me, except for I got Bobby's shitty-ass hard drive.
Got a refurb. Yeah, but no, that, I mean, it improves everything, not only gaming and load times, but just everything in general. Your computer boots faster, programs come up quicker. It just, the computer seems more snappier, more responsive, and it's such a better, I mean, you use that for a while, then you go on a computer that doesn't have a solid state and you think there's something wrong with it.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, the other thing about graphics cards, that's this thing. PC gamers, next thing you think about probably is graphics cards. Right now, I think the graphics cards are far beyond the games. Far beyond. 80% of games. I have a 970. 970 right now. It might be a Ti, but I don't think so. Anyway, I have a 970 right now. I play 85% of my games at ultra all the way across. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen any slowdown or anything. So...
But you're playing Binding of Isaac, not Rainbow Six Siege or Division.
No, I play Siege. Never had a problem. Ultra all the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know why you would need a Titan. Maybe I'm just not...
Wait for Far Cry Primal and then... Or whatever.
We'll see. I don't know.
I don't know. Far Cry 4 didn't really tax my card too much.
Yeah.
I don't know. We will see.
Cool.
Do you have a final word on that, Bob? Well, I guess that was it, right? SSD over spin.
Yeah, I think SSDs are where it's at. If you're wondering what I have, I've talked to a few people about this, but I have an Intel 750, and that's actually a hard drive that you plug into a PCI Express slot, and it uses a standard called NVMe, which is a new thing they're working on, which is great. Back in the old day, they had something called IDE, and now most things use AHCI. And that's the standard for the interface. That's how the hard drive communicates with the motherboard. You know, the newer, the better, obviously. But the new one that I have, it was a little expensive, but man, this thing is
great. When you say a little expensive, what are you talking about? $200
I think I paid $1,200
Okay.
Yeah, for a...
So not $200
Yeah, for... It's 1.2 terabytes.
Oh, okay.
But it is... I got the screenshot somewhere. I don't know what my read-writes are, but it... before this, I had two SSDs and a RAID 0, and what I'm working with now, not so much the read is much better, but the write is over twice as good, so I can write a lot faster. But I
which
really
probably actually that. Uses, as opposed to you guys who are just beating off, you don't really need it.
Yeah, I put that thing to work.
Yeah. And segueing into our news, the next gen of Intel and AMD chips will require Windows 10. So that's some giant Microsoft money shoving things around.
You know what I mean?
Well, doesn't that also mean that if you want the best chips, you can't be running like, what are the other operating system? The other one, Linux. AKA no Linux on the next set of chips? That's some bullying-ass tactics right there.
I don't know. Are they saying that that won't run?
Or is it saying if you're running Windows, you have to run Windows?
Bobby, I need to read headlines. So, next gen Intel and AMD chips will require Windows 10.
See, so I don't think they're not going to run on
Linux. It doesn't say exclusively.
Yeah, I think what they're saying is it's not going to run on Windows 8 or Windows Vista. And who knows, it may actually run on that, but it may not be supported.
At this point, fellas, are we endorsing Windows 10? Is it
100%?
Okay.
Sam's the only one who doesn't like it, but she's running a Surface Pro 3. And if I think it forces you into that tablet mode.
Oh.
And so you can see what her frustration.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I love Windows 10 right now.
I love it. I have never not thought of my operating system this long in ever. You know what I mean? Like, it's set and forget. Sure, it might be right by my bank account without me knowing.
Yeah.
But
it's recording you fapping every time.
But it's just running and it just works.
Yeah.
Like Steve Jobs says, it just works. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good.
Yeah, Windows 10 gets the thumbs up.
All right, what else we got?
Jedi Academy gets a new fighting game mod.
So a game that's 10 years old?
More than 10, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that was early 2000s. Jedi Academy came out. Yeah. That was the last in the series.
Basically, the only reason I put it on here is that's one of Bob, or at least in the genre of Bobby's favorite game of all time. So I showed him a video of it today. What did you think of the whole...
Yeah, it looked cool. I think there's a strong modding community behind those games still to this day.
Oh, I didn't say what it was. They made a fighting game, like a 2D, like a Street Fighter out of Jedi's, basically.
Yeah, it looks a lot, because it uses the same engine and graphics and all the same game, it looks a lot like Tekken or Virtua Fighter almost. Yeah. A little better than Virtua Fighter.
A lot better than Virtua
Fighter. Well, I thought it was cool that they actually had a... character select screen, you know, it kind of looked like Street Fighter where it's got the box in the middle
I mean, what I would love to see is them to take Jedi Outcast or even Dark Forces 2 and just redo that. And I thought they were working on a Jedi Outcast remake, you know, kind of like Black Mesa, but
well, that would have to be a mod and nothing officially supported because now that Marvel bought everything up,
Disney,
that doesn't even exist.
Well, I don't know
your Academy does not count.
I don't. Yeah. Did they buy that portion of LucasArts, the game manufacturer? Yeah. They did.
What is it called? LucasArts or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's LucasArts. Lucasfilm and LucasArts.
Yeah, they own it all. Hmm. Disney does, but they're doing great things with it, so I'm not going to complain, right? Except they got rid of my Thrawn series, which pisses me off.
All right.
Fuck.
You enjoyed the Thrawn series.
But it's not canon anymore.
Yeah, so go for it. Who cares?
I
it's like fan fiction.
I really don't, but...
I'll tell you who cares. Those hundreds of people out there with, like, Mara Jade screen names and shit.
Yeah. Mara Jade. Yeah. All right, what else we got for news?
And finally, Conan. I'm just a big Conan fan, so I just popped up on my radio. My radar. Funcom is making... I think they own the rights to Conan because this is their second game. But the last one came out. I'm not even going to try. It was an MMO.
And what was that, like 8 years ago?
Yeah, it was Age of Conan.
5 to 7 years ago.
It was around 2008.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is their new... But it's a crafting survival game. And you can play it single player, which would be the only way... If you could play as Conan, and kind of... That would be appealing to me.
He kind of had a crew in one of those movies. He had that Amazonian woman.
Yeah.
He had that little dude with like the... He was
Are you sure you're not thinking of Hercules?
No, he's got it right.
Yeah, Conan. Yeah. Which one? Not Barbarian, but the Destroyer.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I've never seen a Conan movie. I've never read
it. I haven't watched the spin-offs. Red Sonja? Mm.
No, none of it.
Every day of the week, twice on Sunday. I mean, for the time. You can't go back and watch that shit. Although fucking Arnold is so yoked.
Did they dub his voice in Conan?
That was the first one where he didn't.
Well, he's Sumerian, you know, so he's like from the mountains, so he probably couldn't speak well anyway. Yeah,
James Earl Jones was in one of those.
This is true. Anyway, tangent on tangents.
Now, Funcom, that's the same company that made The Secret World.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which, friends who swear by that game.
Did they do City of Heroes also? Who did City of Heroes?
No, that's the other one that makes all the
MMOs. Oh, they did Funcom make Champions?
They might.
Yes, I think
Funcom's
so.
Funcom's done Champions. A few things.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to look it up. We're going to wrap this one up now. Speaking of Arnold.
Yeah?
He's going to do the Celebrity Apprentice. He's going to be the new Donald Trump. Mm. So it's going to sound like...
Go ahead.
Is that what this is all about?
Yeah.
This is just a shaky premise for you to do your Arnold impersonation?
Please write in and tell him to stop doing impersonations. Go ahead.
Okay. So, obviously, when Bobby does really well, or really awfully, he's going to be pulled into the office, and Arnold's going to be like...
Go ahead.
You've got to get out of here. You're fired.
Stop laughing. No, it's not funny.
Come on.
No, it's not
funny. Come on.
It's not funny.
No chopper for you.
All right.
Okay. And so...
Wait. But go to our Steam group, DL Gaming on Steam, and tell us your game of the year. We'll wrap that up next week. And
if you want to save some money, go to our website. Everything is on our website. As soon as you go there...
DLGaming.net.
You're going to see our Amazon link, where you could just...
They know
buy things on Amazon like you would anyway, but you're hooking us up at the same time. G2A, where you save a couple bucks and you hook us up. And Patreon, if you just want to hook us up straight up. So those three things you can see right away. DLGaming.net. And speaking for Bobby, Chad, and Arnold, and myself, today's